This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast will be a blessing and a help to you. Now, I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity to be here on the radio. I pray for each and every one of the listeners. I pray that you'd bless them for Jesus' sake. Lord, we come to you once again, asking you to have your will and your way. I pray that you'd lead us and guide us, direct our paths. I pray today, once again, just do that which is pleasing unto thee. We'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. I'd like to ask you to pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, as well as the one in Romania, and then the feeding centers in Romania and Bulgaria. We're very thankful for what the Lord is doing in that work. And here about a week ago, one of our missionaries was in and spoke just a little bit about how the Lord is really working amongst the young people in the village. I think he's got about 50 children in one village that's coming in, and they love to sing the hymns and hear the preaching, and that's just a blessing. And it's spreading out to the adults, but seem like the young'uns are just receiving it. And so if you would, please continue to pray for that. We're so thankful for this taking place. And then if you would, please remember all of the work there in Romania, Bulgaria, especially right now. We're trying to get the Bible translated, and they are trying to put it on the internet for them, as well as record it and put it on there. Just a lot of different ways. That recording is going to be such a blessing for a lot of the people over there are illiterate, and so they can listen to it. And so we're just thankful that this is getting done. The Lord really took care of that quickly, and we appreciate that. But we desire your prayers, covet your prayers over this. Want to see it get out very fast. And I still believe the Word of God is still sharp as a two-edged sword, and it'll do a job, and it'll perform an operation, and it's greatly needed. And so anyway, thank you once again for the prayers, the financial support, everything that you've done down through the years for and through this ministry, and we're grateful for you. Now, I want to mention this also. We'd like to invite you to come and be with us to the fall camp meeting here at the Brookside Baptist Church in Bristol, Tennessee, and it'll be October the 21st through the 25th. We'll have a morning service at 10 o'clock, a night service at 7 o'clock, and then they'll feed you three times today, and so you should be fed spiritually and physically also. And we're looking forward to this. We'd love to once again invite you to come and be any and all of these services. If you will, write us this week. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust it will be a blessing. Colossians chapter 2. And I'd like to preach on a little bit the surgery of God. So you have to have this operation. It's not a question. I mean, you have to have it. And I want to read just a little bit down through here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. And this is what Paul wrote. He said, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And unto all riches and full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith,
and as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I want to look at this just for a few minutes, and as I said the other Thursday night, I guess this began two Thursdays ago down there at the river as we was having the baptism and all of that, and I began thinking about this. The Bible said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Thank God. But I got to thinking about this a lot, preached a little bit down there on it. And then last Thursday, I preached on the faith of the operation of God. And I'm not going to back up and talk about that a whole lot, but I do want to say this. I was trying to preach Thursday. There's three things that I saw. I'm sure there's more, but more that I saw. I found out in reading this that you have to have a diagnosis. That's what you get when you go to the doctor, when you're sick, when there's something wrong, and you get a diagnosis. One day I walked into the church different than any other time I'd ever walked in. I walked in and there's something wrong. That's just the way it is. I went to church a lot in my life and I didn't realize there's anything wrong. But one day I walked in and I found out there's something wrong. And it wasn't wrong with the church. A lot of people blame it on the church. No, the problem was with me. I was the one that was wrong. That was the diagnosis. And anyway, I found out then I didn't understand all of this and maybe don't understand all of it now, but I didn't realize that I needed an operation. I needed an operation. And I needed a donor. But I needed a proper donor. I needed somebody that was not like me. See, I was sick. I had problems. I needed somebody that was not sick, that didn't have no problems. I needed somebody. I mean, the thing about it is, you go out there now and you get a heart transplant, you got to find the right donor or liver transplant. You got to find something like that. You got to find the right one. Well, I was a sinner. I had to find somebody that wasn't a sinner. Amen. To be my donor. That's what I had to find. I mean, I knew all about sin. Sin was my problem. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. I needed to find somebody that didn't sin to be my donor. Thank God, and I found Jesus. But then once I heard about him, I also had to have a great physician. I had to have somebody that knew how to perform this operation. I told him then I didn't want a DI hire to do my operation. I didn't want that. Yeah. Lord God, I wanted the best. Yeah, man. I was thinking about James. I think it's Luke that's telling me a little bit about James. And that's the way, you know, he just graduated and he's a pilot now and got his license. And I trust he's a good one. And to think about that's what I want. I want a good one. I don't want somebody that's chosen because of color or gender or whatever. I don't care about that. But if I'm getting on an airplane, I want the best one. I don't want, you know what I mean? And that's the way I want this physician. I want the best one. I want the specialist. I want somebody, I mean, it don't matter what you lay before him, he can take care of it. I found that out about Jesus. They'd bring the halt, the withered, the lame, the blind, everybody before him, and he healed them all. Thank God. I mean, when he'd get around the dead, he would raise them. That's who I want. I want a specialist. Thank God. Now, like I said, I don't want to preach all that over again, but I want to talk to you more about the surgery itself this morning. I'm glad he performed a surgery. Thank God, and when you get born again, that's what he does. He performs the surgery. Now, let's talk about it real quick in verse 11. Well, let me back up. Here's the thing in verse 10. It said, and you are complete in him. There's the need. You need to be in him. And him in you. You'll go back over here in verse, chapter 1 and verse 27. It said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're not going to heaven unless you got Christ in you. And you're not going unless you're in Him. Amen. You must be complete. That's a pretty in-depth surgery, ain't it? Amen. Oh, Lord. But it's what He said. He said, in whom also you're, He's talking about this surgery now. You are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I mean, what He's saying here, this old man has to be cut loose from the soul and the spirit. Has to be. That makes that scripture over there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 a little bit more plainer. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, listen to this, dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. He, in the beginning of this surgery, He cuts the soul and spirit away from the bones and the marrow. That's a pretty good surgery, ain't it? I mean, this book is sharper than any two-edged sword. He uses the right tool to do it. It was the Word of God that got me under conviction. There's an old white-headed man that used to get up in the pulpit, and I don't remember too much he said, just to be honest about it, but he'd get up there every little bit, and he'd say this, and you must be born again. And that, I mean, here was my problem. I would tell God all the time, just like Terry said, preacher did. I'd tell Him all the time, I'd be good. I'd quit this. I'd start this. But I couldn't do none of that. I couldn't. He'd get up there and I'd say, well, I'm going to do this. And He'd say, you must be born again. And that took me out of the equation. So in this, I mean, here's the thing. You got to put off the body of sins of the flesh. Here's the thing. You've got an infectious area. You've got a problem. You do. And this old man thing, he's a problem. He's a problem. And I mean, you say, I don't have one. Well, the scripture says you do. You do. The Bible said in Romans 7:18, Paul said, for I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen. He said, this flesh isn't just no good. In Romans 3:12, he said, they have all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. Amen. I mean, it's unprofitable. And he said, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. I mean, the Bible said, the fool has saith in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they. Yeah. Corrupt. And have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Isaiah got over there in Isaiah 64 and verse 6. And he said this, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. I'm just talking about how, you know, what he's cutting loose. Amen. This is what you got to get rid of. Yeah. Over in Psalms chapter 39. And verse 5, it says, verily every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Amen. That's what we got to get rid of, this old man. Now, I'll say this, and I'll try to do it politely. I said a little bit about it earlier. Preacher Potter used to tell us all the time that we were sorry and no good. Well, I mean, you know, you say that offends me. No, he was trying. The Bible said he giveth grace unto the humble. Yeah. He resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Trying to keep us down there where we could get a hold of God and let us know who we really are. You know, even if Aunt Spurgeon said one time, Charles Spurgeon, he'd say, if somebody said something bad about you, don't fret. You're probably worse than their description. I mean, don't fret about it. It's all right. I mean, you're worse than what they've said. You know, they really just don't know you. They're just talking to me. Now, they might not be saying it, but that's true, isn't it? But, you know, and then Paul come over and he realized how sorry this flesh was, and he said something like this. Oh, wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Well, he gives us the answer here. Yeah. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Amen. I like that. So he does a surgery. And in this surgery, this is what he has to do. He has to cut loose every cell you got from the soul and spirit. Amen. There has to be a surgery. You can't go to heaven without this. Amen. You must be. And then, I mean, he starts doing some things. Now, I want to say this. The Bible said, I want to look up there real quickly. I want to talk about how he does it. So you have to be in Christ. He takes that soul and spirit and puts it into the body of Christ. Amen. That body of Christ is the church. Amen. Yes, sir. That's his body. Amen. He's the head. This is the body. The church is the body. And I want to say something about that. It's not made up of a lot of good people. It's made up of sinners. Thank God that God cut loose the outward man and put him in a perfect body. Now, whatever you might think of the church is perfect. You say it's full of hypocrites. No. No, I'm telling you right up front, I'm no good. What's hypocritical about that? I'm just telling you God's good. Amen. I'm not telling you that I'm any count. I know I'm no count. I've gave you all kinds of scriptures that I can just testify and say, yes, that's me. I'm no good. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm not. But anyway, I got to thinking about these things. He cuts loose every cell of the soul of man, and I like this. Listen how he does it. Verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now here's how this takes place. In my life, I've had several surgeries, a bunch, more than I care to talk about. I've been put back together with sutures. They use polymer sutures. They'll sew you back together. I've had staples. I've been stapled back together. I've had that glue adhesive, you know, little minor things. They'll glue you back together. They got them paper stitches. I've had all kinds of good stuff. But, you know, after a little while, they got to take that out. I went up there and it looked like, I thought, you know, the worst thing was them stupid staples. You know, and they look like they take that thing that you take it out of paper, you know, and they'll pull them things out and it, you know, it just stings a little bit. But, you know, I didn't like it too much. But that's just the way it was. But when he puts you in the body, I like this. I never seen this before. He knits you together. And I sat over there here a while back and I was thinking about this. Santana, she knits. And she'll be a working. And that's a loop inside of a loop. Yeah. Ain't that right? Just right back and forth. Amen. Bless God, this thing is interweaved so much, you can't pull it apart. Amen. Now, what he uses is love. Yeah. Now, what does that sound like? Romans 8. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. That's what he used to knit us together. I mean, my God, he interweaved that thing with love. I mean, Lord God, it's all together. It's like taking mud and water and stirring it up and then trying to separate the mud and the water back. It ain't possible. You can't get it apart. Thank God he took us, cut this old man loose, separated this old man from the soul and the spirit, put it in the body of Christ, and knit it together in love. Thank God. Lord God, it's been helping me. I just been thinking about a few things. That's why he could say over there, the Bible talked about some things, and I thought about it. It said in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? And then he come down in verse 38, he said, for I'm persuaded. Ain't that good? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's pretty good, ain't it? Lord God, we've been knit together in love. I'm talking about he cut this old man loose, cut your soul and spirit, put it in the body of Christ, and knit it together, thank God. Now, how are you going to get loose from that? In fact, it's so good over there in Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6. He said, set me as a seal upon my heart and as a seal upon my arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Listen to this, verse 7. Many waters cannot quench love. I'm talking about what he done. Well, don't that make John 3:16 sound so good? For God so loved the world. Why did he love the world? Because that's what he's going to use to sew you in Christ with. That was the sutures. That's the stitches. That's what you're knit together. He didn't just come through there, you know, they'll just sew you up, just a few. No, he weaved you in. Thank God we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Oh, Lord God, I'm in there so deep you couldn't get me out. You can't even find me in there. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, the former things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old man is dead. He's passed away, thank God. In fact, and when he done this, I want to talk about this just for a minute. I don't know what kind of time I've got, but I want to talk to you just a minute about two of the most important verses here. I mean, when he cut you loose, he put you in another body. And in that body, listen to this. And you see, here's the operation of God. Faith in the operation of God who raised him from the dead. All right. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, this is the body you're in, having forgiven all trespasses. Blotting out all ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And that's pretty good stuff, ain't it? But I was thinking about this. 1 Timothy 1:9 says this, knowing this, that the law was not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, and manslayers. Well, that's who I was, but that's not who I am now. The law was not made for the righteous man. You know who the righteous man is, don't you? Amen. The law wasn't made for him. He wasn't going to break that law. I mean, he come to fulfill the law, not to break it. I'd already broke it. He come to be sin for me. Who knew? The Bible said he had made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When he sewed me in that body, he made me righteous, thank God. And all of that stuff that was contrary to me, he took it out of the way. Said, it ain't made for you no more. You're in the righteous man. And he knit me in there with love. And nothing can separate me from that love. I want to tell you this morning. God's not mad at you. Yeah, man, he loves you this morning. Everything he done was because he loves you. He came because he loved you, thank God. He ain't mad because you're lawless or ungodly or anything. I said he come to cut you loose from that and put you in the body of Christ and knit you in there, knit together in love, loop you in. Oh, Lord, helps my heart. Somebody said, I mean, here's the thing. If you cut one strand, you'd destroy the whole church. Whole body. But don't worry about that. Life can't do it. Death can't do it. Perils can't do it. Problems can't do it. Storms can't do it. I read here where he let me read it again. The Bible said he spoiled principalities. You know what he done? He took their strength. If there was anything that could cut you loose, he took their knife. He took their scissors. He took their scalpel. They don't have nothing to work with. They've got nothing to work with to get you from the love of God. There is no power no more. You've been put in the body of Christ. Lord God, you're a believer now. Amen. You're in him and he's in you. Amen. It's forever settled in the heavens. Ain't a thing hell can do. Ain't a thing the devil can do. You're safe. You're secure. You're in the body. There's been an operation. There's been a surgery took place and got rid of this nasty old man and put him in one that's righteous, thank God. Amen. And sewed it up. Sewed it together. Now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Lord God, if you're saved, you're in the best shape you've ever been in or could be in. Lord God, you've done better than won the lottery. Terry taught this morning that's all vanity. Solomon had it all and it's all vanity. Vexation of spirit. He said, all of it, I tried, I got it all. Now it just vexes me. Just troubles me. But I'll tell you what, I've never been troubled in him. I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Lord God, ain't God good to us? I mean, he's been better to us than we could even talk about. But I find in this operation, we're knit together. And I'm going to say this and I'll let you go in a minute. I started talking about he cuts loose that infectious area at this old flesh. But here he puts us in a perfect body. Amen. Listen, this is what I want to say. One that has natural immunity. That which is born of God cannot sin. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us, Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.